Christians join to sing Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice, Alleluia, Amen.
Welcome to worship. It's good to be able to have you join us wherever you are, at home or just wherever you are on this Sunday or on whatever day you are choosing to join us. We meet in the name of a God who is bigger than all places and of all times. We come together in Jesus' name. I'm Robin Jacobson and you are joining us here at St. Stephen's United Church where we meet in beautiful Qualicum Beach, on the unceded territories of the Qualicum Nation. It's good that you are here. We meet in the name of Jesus Christ, who has said that He is with us always, at all times and in all places. That's a fact. That's a given. When we light the Christ candle, we're not trying to summon up any kind of holiness of God or anything. We are simply acknowledging what is already here. Christ is here, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness which can never put out the light. The hallmark of Christ's presence is a peace that passes all understanding. As the light of Christ dawns in our awareness, may we know something of that peace of Christ right now. The peace of Christ be with you.
Come, people of God, gather, lean in, closer. The Spirit of God gathers us in like a hen gathers her chicks. Protecting, providing, nurturing. Come, beloved, know that you belong here. Come and worship your Maker. Please pray with me. Divine God, in faith we step into the life you have provided for us. A life free of constraint, a life of belovedness. Forgive us, blessed Redeemer, when we forget your goodness. Through Jesus, you have made the way for us to come freely as your children of grace. Forgive us, Holy Deliverer, when we are unkind or unhelpful. Help us today to remember that you gave us the light to live openly, authentically, liberated from fear and shame. Forgive us, light of the world, when we run back to the shadows to hide from you. Give us ears today to hear the word of God, that we may have hearts filled with your love, to live the word of God. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
We are aware of lots of things that are happening in our lives. We are aware of lots of things happening that form our identities. We're aware of lots of things. Be most aware of the fact that you are loved and that you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, all of the other stuff becomes small in the light of such love, amazing grace. We are forgiven. Amen. Our reading today from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, Marlene's going to be reading for us in a moment. It follows on from themes that we have been looking at, that we are still looking at, which is all about our waking up, our opening our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our minds, waking up to the living of our lives in the Spirit. To become aware of the fact that there's this pulsing life of Christ that's within us and all around us, and we would be aligned with that life. We're wanting to be encouraged to come back to a sense of our truest identity, the identity that's been sealed in us from before all time, given to us by God, revealed by God to us in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We would wake up to know that, to own that, and to live that. So Marlene's going to read from us from Romans chapter 8 and the first 11 verses, Life in the Spirit.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Therefore is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If needed, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to God. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On me, breath of God,
We're speaking about our truest identities, the discovery of our truest identities. We may think we know who we are, but then we discover this life pulse of God as we are in Christ that's beating from deep within us. Paul begins this reading in Romans chapter 8 by speaking about how there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not a legal verdict. It's an ontological statement. He's simply saying what is. This is a reality of our existence. This is part of the fundamental nature of who we already are. And as we begin to get it, as we begin to actually believe that identity, as we come to lean into it, well, it's only as we begin to do so that we begin to realize that who we are is woven by Christ into God. We are one with the holiness of God. We made imago Dei in God's image. Folks, that's huge. It's enormous. We get distracted from that truth. But we are Christian. We are in Christ. We are Christian. That's what it means. It's huge. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's like there are these two realms of being Paul describes in this passage. He speaks about there's the realm of the flesh and there's the realm of the spirit. Two quite distinct ways of being. And they need to be properly positioned for us to be able to live properly as God intends us to be living. To be living less than this is to be living less than ourselves. And so we struggle. We understand flesh, the realm of the flesh, to be that realm that's governed by things like our ego, all the stuff that drives us, the fear that drives our decisions, the external selves, the things that are external to us, the identities that are given to us because of the careers that we have, or the successes that we've had, or the failures that we've had. All these things that we wear as our clothing. They are important. It's what we wear as our clothing. It's what defines so much of how we interact in life with one another and even with ourselves. But we know that they're not ultimately our ultimate reality. They're not all that there is. I know when I've either disappointed somebody or someone's angry with me and I want to think, but you don't know me. I'm better than that. And God help me when I forget that I'm better than that. There's the realm of the flesh. But thank God there's also the realm of the spirit. We know that somehow inside of us, at a level that is so much deeper than what is simply superficial and what can be seen, is a deeper, a truest self. There's a me in Christ self, a me in God's image self, a soul self. That's a reality. Just like the flesh is a reality, there's also a spiritual reality, a deeper, beautiful, redeemed reality. And it's from that place that we have come to know, or at least come to suspect, that that's where the holiness of God dwells. And it's from there where the holiness of God flows out from me. It's not by what I do. It's what I sense, and I come to believe deep down I am. These are not two distinct parts of me that are fighting with one another for domination so much as two perspectives of me, two ways of seeing who I am and who this world is and what this world is. It's like when I'm wearing my polarized sunglasses. For the longest time, I thought that the little display at the airport when I had to pay for my parking was broken because the screen was just black, it was blank, until I realized I needed to take my sunglasses off. And I could suddenly read it. The polarizing lens was blocking out a whole bunch of my reality. Often that was great because it cut out the glare of the sun, but it was also cutting out some really important information right in front of me. And I think our flesh that we wear sometimes, like those glasses, they keep us blinded to this other reality, this most real reality that's right here in front of us. From which perspective do you tend mostly to live? Where do you tend mostly to... Through which lens do you mostly tend to see yourself and the world? The lens of the flesh or that inner, pulsing, sacred lens of the indwelling spirit? Yeah, it's a good question. As we are in Christ, so we are called to be defined by only this, the one, all-unifying Holy Spirit of God, which we embrace as the truest ground of our being. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit of God in Christ dwells in us as our most eternal, deepest truth, not just occasionally, but always. The Spirit of God in us as our most true truth. How dare we forget that? How we mess things up as we lose that sense of God's holiness that's within us. That's a sacredness that Philip Newell writes, which has been placed within us by God from before all time, right at the very beginning. What made in God's image means. The holiness of God deep within us. And now because of God's most amazing grace, as revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the risen one, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, has been released into our awareness. We can get to actually know that. It's released to the extent that we can come to know that we are participating in that life. As Christ followers, we get to know that this is not all there is. There is more, and it's deeper, and it's better, and it infiltrates everything. And we, as we have our eyes healed by the risen Lord, are given to see it. That realization is a little bit like walking into a room where there's beautiful music that's busy playing, but it's so soft that we can't hear it. All the fleshy noises in our head drown out that sound. We just can't hear. All we can hear are the noises. But then some good, kind person goes and starts turning up the volume of that beautiful music, and we catch it. And eventually that's all we can hear. The beautiful music that was always there, but was drowned out by all the other noises. A beautiful image that speaks to us of what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8. That Spirit's life is already within us. There's no condemnation. It's a simple statement. The Spirit's life is here. No verdict. We are beloved. We are worthy. We made in God's image. The flesh is all the distracting noises that stops us from knowing it and owning it and believing it and living it. Can you imagine this world if we could actually, who is it, the seekers, or I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, and all the, they got it right. The music that's playing is holy. We pray for it every Sunday that God's kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, it's here. It needs to be released. In the same way that Michelangelo spoke of seeing this block of marble and just releasing David from the marble. The Holy Spirit of God is working all through the world and needs people like us to catch a sense of where already he is busy and would have us work to release that awareness into the world for folks to be able to know. All our awakening to it and living out from it is simply our coming to remember who we actually are and simply getting on with doing what we've been created to do. That is the most real reality. That's where we are. We use the word repentance, and that sounds so theological and so grand, but all it means, repentance, from the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change, nous means knowing. Change your mind. Change how you look at things. To be able to respect something means to respect, look again at reality and see the spirituality, the beautifulness of the holiness of God that is here. Spirit isn't apart from flesh. It undergirds flesh and is released into the wonder of holy presence. But that waking up process of becoming aware of Christ within me is what we call salvation. I'm saved from being defined simply by the flesh. My growing into that awareness and allowing that to change how I live and who I am is what we call sanctification. Salvation happens in a blink as we are given to see it. Sanctification can happen the whole of the rest of my life as I allow spirit to influence flesh and I become on the outside who Christ has already made me to be on the inside. A beautiful image. That's what we call becoming spiritually mature. What Christ has already revealed us to be inwardly becomes visible, this lifelong learning. Popular psychologist and speaker Dr. Wayne Dyer believed that he was quoting Pierre Teilhard de Chardin when he wrote in the 1980s that we are not human beings currently having occasional spiritual experiences, but spiritual beings having this occasional human experience for however many years we are on this planet. I love that. And I'd love to paraphrase that. We are not mortal beings with just some spiritual stuff going on in us, depending on our faith or whether it's big or small, you know, occasionally, so much as most profoundly, we are spiritual beings made in the image of God, saved by grace through faith, and clothed in our beautiful but very fallible human flesh, spiritual beings. Our lives in Christ begin as we are born again, again, again to know and to live out of that beautiful, sacred reality. And then we are told to go out to make disciples. Share that awareness with others. Find creative ways of letting other people know that their flesh is not the last word, that they are beautiful. Find ways to release that in Christ presence inside of them. And so may the kingdom grow on earth as it is in heaven. Our calling, our privilege, our joy, our commission. Just three questions. Chew on these with me this next week, I invite you. Where do I most clearly notice the difference between living from flesh and living defined from spirit in my daily life? What old story? What old fleshy story? Fear, striving, guilt, self-condemnation is God inviting me to just let go of, that I may awaken to my truest identity in Him. And where do I sense the Spirit already animating my life? And how can I cooperate more fully with that sacred movement. Oh, dear God, more of you. Thank you for all of the flesh, all of what I've been able to create in my life and what I've been able to do. Thank you that I'm so much more than that. We pray for an awareness of your holiness in each and every one of us, that the risen Christ may be glorified even through our lives, and that our living may make you smile. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised.
Recently, Robin asked us to ponder, where do you live? That question and the pondering and the answer he gave us has led to this prayer. Our spiritual home and our physical home, our longing at times for both. Jesus said, live in me, make your home in me. And Rich Mullins sang this prayer. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let it be for the joy that has borne in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man, a woman who is longing for her home. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. What grace. May we abide there in you and you in us, where we will know the love that bears all things, believes and hopes and endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Draw us back again and again in those moments when we doubt, are discouraged, fatigued, frustrated, angry. Those things that threaten to surround us and rob us. As we have recently celebrated Canada, our home, we pray for this great and beautiful country. We give thanks for the beauty and diversity of land and sea and people. Stir in us a heart of compassion for the struggling, the poor, the hungry, the marginalized, the homeless and hurting and lonely. May we radiate your love and grace until all find their home. We have received such abundance. Increase our capacity for love and acceptance and for generosity, O God. Thank you for our home here at St. Stephen's. Thank you for the years of faithful leadership from followers of Jesus that have brought us to this place and time. Thank you for Reverend Robin. We pray for continued healing for him. And we thank you. We pray for those in this world who long to go home and cannot. Those whose homes are threatened or destroyed by fire or flood. Comfort them, we pray, as we ask that their homes be restored to them. And we pray earnestly for those whose homes are destroyed by war and violence and for families torn apart. Our hearts are grieved as we pray for those suffering abuse and deprivation that we cannot comprehend in places we never imagined. And for all perpetrators of such things, will you convict and restore them? Bring them home too? For those on the front lines of the battle against fire, flood, and evil, may they also come again in safety to their homes. Grant them courage and resilience, great God of hope. Anyway, thank you, Jesus, for leaving us this marvelous prayer of challenge and comfort to pray to our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And so we have glimpsed again something of who we are. And what we glimpse, folks, is good. We glimpse something of the holiness of God that's even in us, the risen Christ. Where should I go to be away from your presence, O God? Thank you that you are everywhere. Even now, we go out with something of that awareness, and may we be used to be the blessing that God intends us to be just wherever we are. And as we do so, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you today and always. Amen.